So Peter, what I got to tell you, this book is so remarkable. And as we go into 2 Peter, it's so remarkable. I want us to kind of have a little bit of a refresher here. Like last week, we found, it was revealed, it really blew my mind. And I think it's kind of obvious, but to me it wasn't so obvious. As we were talking about knowledge of Jesus, knowledge of our Lord, what we're really talking about is knowing Him. I don't think I ever saw that before. That knowledge means knowing. That we know Jesus. How powerful is that? That we know God. That is knowledge. And Peter starts out this chapter with usually we just start off, may the grace and love of Jesus Christ and God the Father be with you. But that's not how Peter starts out. Peter starts out, may the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God be with you. And then he goes on to talk about all this knowledge. And now he's going to tell us that we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of what we already know. Have you ever needed to be reminded of something you already knew? I see a lot of heads shaking. Yes, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been reminded of something I already knew. It's like, you ever know something, but then you kind of doubt yourself? And then you find out that you were right all along. Like you find out that you were wrong about being wrong. Been there? I mean, I lived that scenario when I was at TV20. I did it all the time. I bought all this equipment. They gave me $100,000 to buy all this equipment. And I researched it, and I looked at everything, and I talked to vendors. I did my homework. I did everything I possibly could. And I bought all this equipment, and I bought the top stuff, and I got the best prices, and I worked really hard. But then when it was all said and done, I took a look over at that machine over there and that whole computer system, like, is that the best one? I looked at that camera. Was that the best choice? And sometimes it took me over 2 years of continuing still looking at it. Then I come back and I say, yeah, the reviews are still coming in. That is the best of the best. And we got a great deal on it. But I had to doubt myself a little. You ever do that? You know something, but you don't know it completely yet? I mean, that's everything, right? And so when it comes to our Lord, sometimes we need to be reminded of what we already know. And what do we know? First of all, we know that we will be forever and ever and ever for eternity with God our Father. Amen, amen, and amen. We know that people that don't have Jesus are in danger, more than just danger, of not being with our Father forever and ever and ever. And we know that eternity, we've talked about this before, goes forever in that direction and forever in that direction. And our lifetime is maybe like a pencil line on that line going across it. Our little 100 years or so is very, very, very short compared to eternity. And so the stakes are high. We know that. We know that God loves us unconditionally. Boy, we've been talking about that in our Doing Life group. That we are under this grace umbrella. That no matter what we do, no matter how much we screw this thing up, and boy, can we screw up life, can't we? Boy, can we have our challenges. And isn't 99% of them self-inflicted? A lot of it's that doubt thing, you know. And God, but God's got our back. God's got my back. Can't wait for my shirt. God's got my back. God's got this. It's going on my back. It's going to go right over here. Or nope, it's on this side. God's got this. God's got my back. That's another one of the shirts I see with the young men. Young men. We're talking about 18, 19 years old with God's got my back on his shirt. How cool is that? You know, as we see those shirts, we're reminded That's why I love those shirts so much. I love it when I see somebody out and about and they got a cap on that says man of God. It makes me want to go and talk to that guy. Why are you a man of God? Why are you wearing that cap? And boy, they just open up. They want to tell you why they're wearing that cap. So sometimes we need to be reminded. And what it does is it refreshes us. It's like a drink of spring water. It's like the Holy Spirit water infills us. As we're reminded of who we are, we're refreshed. Because sometimes this world beats you down, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes it's hard. I remember one time, and I was on a good flow. You know how life kind of flows, and then you hit this mountain, and then you hit this valley, but sometimes you got this nice flow going on. So I was in the middle of the flow, and everything was going good. And I started thinking, you know what, man, it's not that hard. Life, see, that's about knowing but not knowing, okay? It's not that hard. This is all going good. And then all of a sudden that challenge comes up. And boom, you're at that mountain. And all of a sudden you realize, oh, this could be a little tricky. This could be a little difficult. This could be a little challenging. And we're living in those ebbs and flows, aren't we? Sometimes it feels like we're all up on top here, man. We're all on jumping from mountaintop to mountaintop. Like, where's our valley? Or is it the other way around, actually? We're in the valley, looking up at the mountaintop, wishing we could get up there. Peter. You gotta remember who Peter is. Because none of this makes any difference. I always look at every author and I say, well, I take them all with a grain of salt. My favorite author in the world is Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee is just brilliant. He takes scripture and he takes it apart. You can only read about 2 pages of Nee because you gotta think about what is he saying. It's not that hard to read, but it's the comprehension. And this guy is over in China, and he was put away for 20 years. I don't think he had a lot of formal education. He just understood scripture, and he brought scripture alive. That's what we're trying to do with that, you know, what pops. As you look at a scripture, what's popping? What's happening? As we sing a hymn, what song, what lyrics are coming out? What is the Holy Spirit trying to tell us? It doesn't take a theology degree to understand scripture. The Holy Spirit wrote it. The Holy Spirit will reveal it. Continuing with 1 Peter, verse 12. Peter's talking to the churches. Many of the churches he formed himself. So I will always, he says, always, I will always remind you of these things. Even though, I didn't know these was going to come up that quickly. If you remember last week, we talked a lot about these things. We talked about what are these things that Peter was talking about the glory and about the power. But mostly what he was talking about was the knowledge of God. The knowledge of Jesus. That's what these things are. So I will always remind you of these things. Even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. See, that the church is facing persecution. The church is brand new. It's just starting out. The church is in a foreign land and they're not always welcome. The church is trying to figure themselves out. Isn't that us? Isn't the church trying to figure itself out still? Here 2,000 years later, we're still trying to figure ourselves out. You know, it amazes me, the church. The church is actually, I think it was Bill Hybels who said, the local church is the hope of the world. We need to take that literal. The local church is the hope of the world. I want to remind us of that fact. That the church is not just important, the church is essential. So he's talking to the people of the church who are going through a lot of stuff. And maybe they're wavering a little. Maybe they got some doubts, but they've been trained. They understand. Many of them have been eyewitnesses. They know what is truth. They have this all firmly established. They get it. So I will always, Peter says, I will always remind you. I'm not going to let you forget. I'm going to keep telling you the same thing. I'm going to help you remember. I will always remind you of these things being the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of God the Father. And where do you think the ceiling is of that knowledge? When do you think you reach that top tier where you know it all? That's right, never. Because God is too great. Jesus is too unfathomable. There's no ceiling. I love that. I love that no matter who I read, watch, knee, whoever it is, they only have an inkling of an understanding of who God is. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you already know them and are firmly established in the truth, Jesus is the truth, that you now have continuing. I think it is right, Peter says, to refresh your memory. I swear, I think we have constant amnesia. I think we walk around with amnesia. I think it's an ongoing thing. I understand it. I've got it firmly down. Especially when we're in that doing life group, man. It's coming out. Like, I understand this stuff. And then I go into my world and I start living it, but I'm not living it like I just got done talking about. I'm not having that faith that I just got done professing. I'm not walking in that truth. Can you relate? Like, it's easy to give lip service to this. It's easy to read about it. It's easy to teach about it. It's not so easy to live it. Especially when that mountain comes up. Especially when that weight is coming down. Especially when that diagnosis is given. It's not so easy at that moment. So he says, I gotta give you a little refresher course. Right? You go to college, you go get a little refresher course. When you're an engineer, you get a refresher course so you know how to work on the newest equipment. I know Mike can understand that because he goes out, and yeah, he's shaking his head. He goes out and works on all this equipment, which is always changing. And you gotta be up on it. And so Peter's going to give them a refresher. And it's not a refresher, it's like a book or anything. He wants to refresh their memory. Because like I said, they have amnesia. Constant amnesia. I think it is right, he says, to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Time is short, people. I know it's a cliche. I know we don't really believe it. But time is short. I told you about the guy who accepted Jesus and 3 days later he died. Time is short. We hear all about Jesus coming back and he's going to be back and we're in the last days. Time is short. I don't get into it. Jesus said you won't know the day and date, and I trust him at his word. We have no clue when Jesus is coming back. It could be a year, it could be 1,000 years, it could be 100,000 years. We have no idea. It could be tomorrow. But the thing is what he did say is to be ready, to be prepared, to refresh that memory a little bit, continuing. Because I know, Peter says, that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. So Jesus has already told Peter, God has already given him the insight that Peter's days are short. And they were. All of the apostles were martyred. All of them had very short days left. And in some ways, I think they knew it. They watched what happened to their Lord and Savior, and they knew. That's why they huddled down in Jerusalem. That's why they weren't going to leave. That's why they were afraid when somebody would knock at the door, because they knew they were next. And they finally had to leave Jerusalem and scatter all abroad. Sound familiar? The church is scattering right now. That's what's happening. That's what happened with COVID. That was just a taste of like, you guys got to get out of these buildings. You got to get out there and start talking to some people. You got to get around the world. You got to get into the Starbucks. You got to go out and talk to your neighbors and to your family. You can't just be comfortable in this house with each other, which is a beautiful family thing, but we got work to do. So Jesus made it clear to Peter that your time is short, continuing. And I will make, Peter says, every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. There's these things again. He keeps talking about these things about the knowledge of God, these things about the knowledge of Jesus, these things about the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, if you take out any one of those three, I guarantee you, if you go at it diligently, you'll be at it for over 2 years. I know because I have. I spent 2 years on Jesus. Like, did he really walk this planet? Is there evidence? Is there any verifiable facts? And let me tell you, after 2 years, I learned what it means to be an apologist, that I can not apologize for my faith, but I can defend it. And God the Father, oh my goodness gracious, we could go on for years and years and years to try to understand. And the Holy Spirit, probably the most confused subject in the church. We've got so many different theories and different churches that do different things. But really, the bottom line is when we get Jesus, we get the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in us and through us and all around us. This is the age of the Holy Spirit. We can go on and on about that, like I said. We need to remember these things continually. Peter says, for we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Let me tell you, when I did that 2-year trek about Jesus, about him walking the planet, it was that word, eyewitnesses, that finally convinced me. I had all kinds of archaeology. There is so much archaeology proof. There are so many original pieces of the Bible that were in papyrus. There is so much evidence. It is mountains and mountains. There is more evidence for the validity of the Bible than any book ever. It outnumbers thousands to one. But for me, that wasn't enough. Because anybody can write anything in any book. I wasn't there. But see, Peter was an eyewitness. Peter was such an eyewitness that he could deny Christ. That's how close he was. He was right there. As they were grilling him, as they were putting him on trial, Peter was right there. He was right there enough for some girl to come up to him and he would deny Jesus. That's how close he was. Peter was right there at the Last Supper and he's sitting there taking bread with Jesus and Jesus is training his apostles, his disciples one last time. He was an eyewitness. We have hundreds and thousands of eyewitnesses of Jesus after the resurrection that saw him, that talked to him, that Thomas put his hand in his side. It is all eyewitness testimony continuing. He received honor and glory from God the Father. Talk about an eyewitness. When the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Peter heard the voice. John the Baptist was there when the Spirit spoke from the heaven. God spoke from heaven and he spoke of his son as the Holy Spirit came down and landed on him on his baptism. There were hundreds of people as far as witnesses to that. And what really cinched me, and I think I told you before, is that some of these pieces, some of the Bible was written within 20 or 30 years of the events. Think about that. within 20, if something happened within 20 years or 30 years of right now, you would have experienced it, wouldn't you? When you think of 9/11, did you see the towers go down? I did on TV. I was at TV 20. I was with my team, and we watched it in the art graphics room, and we saw it on the TV screen. And then, of course, you saw it replayed and replayed on CNN and over and over. And then you remember the vigils and the candlelight vigils and all the people. And they kept talking about it for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years later. They're still talking about it to this day. And we have all these eyewitnesses. They saw it. They knew it. They experienced it. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice of God, came to him from the majestic glory, the heavens itself, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased," continuing. And he says, we ourselves heard that voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. So they heard the exact same voice. That is so cool. That when they saw the transfiguration of Jesus, they heard that same voice that came down and said, "This is my Son," whom maybe it's that booming James Earl Jones. I always think of that James Earl Jones kind of voice, you know, that booming deep bass voice. That's what we always use for God, isn't it? Whenever we had Christmas plays or anything, we would keep the voice like, "I am God." I wonder what that voice, I think that voice had all kinds of different tones. I think it was deep. I think it was high. I think it was both together. I think it was musical. I think it was a melody. I think it was all kinds of things. I think it was supernatural. I don't even think that we could describe that voice, but Peter could.
I wonder.
Because Peter witnessed it. So the exact same voice that was happening at the transfiguration is the same voice that happened at the baptism. God the Father talking about his Son and about how he is pleased. These are the things that Peter wants us to remember and wants us to know. And you know what? Nowadays, we have the advantage. Nowadays, we have the advantage because we got it all written right here. I mean, we have all the Old Testament. We have all the New Testament. We have the book of Revelation. We have all the Gospels. We have so much material. It's kind of a little bit like the internet. There's so much material, we don't know what to do with it all. But the difference is that this is all truth. This is all factual, the internet. Good luck. Continuing. We also have, Peter says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. Oh. Boy, I'll tell you, I miss reliable. I miss reliable. I miss that when we had unbiased newscasts, that they just told us what happened and didn't put any emotion into it. They didn't embellish it. I mean, they didn't literally cry or laugh over what the news was. I swear, Walter Cronkite is spinning in his grave. I never understood the importance of unbiased reporting until now. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. We need something reliable these days. And you would do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. We have a prophetic message. We have a message that was given to our forefathers. We have a message, you know, that's the other thing about the Bible. We have books that were written thousands of years apart, and they all come together with the exact same message. They all coincide. It's crazy. It's impossible. It's impossible that the Gospel of Matthew is saying the exact same thing as the Book of Kings that was written several thousand years ago. You ever see all those little highlighters and little numbers in your Bible that give little references back to other things? It's because they're all coinciding together. The entire book, from cover to cover, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, fits together like a glove. That's why we have theologians that spend years and years just taking apart one gospel. We have a theologian that all he does is the gospel of John. That's it for his entire life. And then he can't get through it all. I'll tell you, we go too fast. We gotta slow down. You gotta start taking scripture in one verse at a time. Maybe eight verses. That's what we're doing today, about eight verses. This reading the Bible in a year, it's good, it's not great, because I would question how much you're going to remember. You'd be much further off reading the Bible in 10 years and just really taking it in. And I know it's hard, but the Old Testament is very hard. But if you understand that the key to unlocking every verse, Old Testament, New Testament, Book of Revelations, I don't care what it is, the key is Jesus. When you say, well, what does this have to do with Jesus? All of a sudden a light bulb comes on. When you say, what does it have to do with my life? All of a sudden an application comes forth. When you say, this is a book that God has given me to understand how to live life, all of a sudden you have some direction. We prayed about direction. It's right here. Continuing. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Here's where we get tripped up. Here's where we got problems. It's not about the Word. It's not about, is it NIV or King James, because they're all pretty much the exact same thing. It's just simply different kinds of language. One's a little more Old English and the other one's a little more modern. But 99% of it's all saying the exact same thing. It's not the Scripture. It's the interpretation. It's when people start taking verses out of context. When they start making stuff up. We were just talking about this in the men's group about the rapture. We won't get into all that. But we had a lively discussion about the rapture. And you know, I don't put God in a box. I had one of the most brilliant people who was taking me through ordination, and he took me through the book of Revelation, and what he told me is, if the book of Revelation does not tell you what it means, we do not know what it means. Period. You know, when he talks about the candlesticks, he tells you what the candlesticks are, we know what it means. When he starts talking about all this other stuff, about the beast, and we have no clue. We have no clue. All that was written cryptically, on purpose. And so when we start jumping into Scripture, an eye for an eye, and say, okay, you did that to me, I'm going to do that to you because the Bible said so, because we didn't bother to read the context that Jesus is using it as an example of what we're not supposed to be doing, we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble with the Bible. And we can defend all kinds of crazy ideas with the Bible. All we gotta do is take a little verse and pop it out. We need to read it all in context. Remember I said from cover to cover. And that's why we have to use some discerning with it. We have to interpret. But see, the gospel is good news. Good news is of Jesus. Truth is Jesus. The good news is that the Holy Spirit of God wrote this book. And the good news is the Holy Spirit of God interprets this book. I don't think you need to be a theologian. I seriously don't. I don't even think you need to go to school. You can. It's all advantageous. It's good to go to school. I challenged it when they asked me to go. I didn't want to get polluted. But my mentor, Isaac, challenged me. And he said, you know what, Tom? You won't get polluted. You'll get challenged, and you can challenge right back, and that's exactly what I did. And I learned, and I grew. It was a great experience, and Pastor Isaac was so on target. But you don't have to do that in order to understand Scripture. All you gotta do is what we're doing here. Look at the verses. What's popping out? Why? Ask the Holy Spirit. Who wrote it? Why is interpretation, that's the word that pops for me, a different word might pop for you. It might be understand. We could do a whole message on what do we understand and what don't we understand. So God will speak individually to each of us about that verse and about that passage. And as we read it in context, it will change our lives continually. Last verse. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. And hear this. It never came from Peter. It never came from James. It never came even from Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. Prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets through human, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along. I love that. That's why I highlighted it. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You ever been carried along by the Holy Spirit? I've met a lot of people in my life who've been carried along by the Holy Spirit. I gotta tell you, man, when they start talking, I'm just blew. I want to hear everything they have to say. Because they've been in prayer. I think of my dear origin mentor, Arlene. And Arlene would be in prayer, and she'd have this connection to God. It was a supernatural connection. She knew things before they were even going to happen. She was so close. And you know what? I tell you, and I think I said this before, I just thought she was born that way. I just thought Arlene was special. I just thought she was one of those people, you know, gifted. But I come to find out that Arlene worked at it. Arlene was in the Word. Arlene devoted herself to prayer. Arlene earned that. You earned this. To understand Scripture, you earn it. To understand God, you earn that. It takes some effort. But we can be carried along. Once we do our part, God will do His part. And the Holy Spirit will carry us. So like we do, you know, I always say that God does the heavy lifting, okay? We gotta get it started. We gotta get it started, and then He'll shoot it through the ceiling, whatever it is, that piece of knowledge. And that knowledge is always knowledge about Him, knowledge about His Son, and knowledge about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, what this verse is saying, is the Holy Spirit wrote this, not human beings. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it. All we gotta do is pray. I'll tell you, one of the most important things to do is give God 5 minutes or more every morning. Every day. Maybe not morning, but I say morning. 5 minutes or more every morning, concentrated, not multitasking, and just talk to Him. And you want to really be powerful? Read a little verse before that. Read some scripture before you do that. And let Him reveal it. I'll tell you the secret to my messages. My secret to my messages is I read these passages, same ones, every day. Before I go to prayer, every day. And I let it gel. And see what the Holy Spirit's saying. And it's usually around Friday or Saturday that the aha hits. Like that knowledge and knowing. That didn't hit until like Saturday. I'm going to speak it on Sunday. So the Holy Spirit, and it's not me, it's anybody who applies themselves to Scripture, the Holy Spirit wrote it, and the Holy Spirit reveals it. So what do we do with all this? I think what Peter is trying to tell the church is remember. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we have amnesia? That we forget? That we know who we are sometimes. And sometimes we don't. That we act like who we are sometimes. And sometimes we don't. That we have all the confidence in the world sometimes. And sometimes we don't. Can I get an amen? Is anyone else there? That sometimes you're like on top of the mountain. You think, wow, God is just speaking to me. Wow, we are so close. Wow, I understand Scripture. Wow, I'm in prayer. And other times you say, where is He? I can't see Him. And I'm going to tell you, we were talking about this in the men's group. It's usually when we're panicking. When I panic, logic goes right out the window. When I panic, I do stupid things. When I panic, I don't think straight anymore. And when I panic, I don't trust anymore. Because I don't know, I'm a fixer. How do I fix this? I need, and I'm going to be completely vulnerable. I need to fix it because I need to feel better about it. Not just to fix the situation. I need to feel better about that situation. So I got to fix it. I got to fix it now. And that's a mistake. Because if I could just stop. For one thing, what I find is, well, that situation really wasn't that dire now, was it? It really wasn't that urgent. I really didn't have to make a move right this minute. And usually the move I make just messes it up more. If I would just remember who I am. I am a Christian. Now you can take and reverse that. I am a Christian. I am in Christ. I have Jesus Christ in me. I have the Holy Spirit of God in me. I have God the Father in me. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is in me. If I remember who I am, I swear, if anybody would just simply get this, that they have God in them, whoa. What would the world look like? What if everybody in every church understood that they have God inside them? And what if they started acting like it? And what if we talked about glowing the other week. What if they just glowed with that presence? I know lots of people who glow. I know most of the people here glow with the presence of God. And as people see us glow and feel that presence, what happens is magical because they want some of that. They see that peace you have in crazy situations and they're like, how do you do that? I want to be able to do that. They see that joy, that smile on your face. Like, I want to be like that. Remember, I think one of the tricks of the enemy, he only has two tools, lies and deception. But I think what the result of that lies and deception is amnesia. Because when we believe the lies, and when we fall for the deception, we forget who we are. And what Peter is trying to tell the church is remember who you are. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that we have been bought. We have been purchased. We thank you that we are saved. We thank you that we can help others. We thank you that we are your child. And that you love us unconditionally. We thank you for remembering these things. We thank you that when panic hits, that you're more powerful than the situation. We thank you that when we pray, we see results. We thank you, Lord, when we pray, we simply are in your presence. We thank you for your almighty presence over us and through us and in us. We thank you, dear Father God. We thank you, dear Father God. We thank you, dear Father God, for who we are. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord, we respond to you.
Every week we come to the end and we come to these verses and they fit the message like a glove. And I've been having this new revelation for the last 3 or 4 years now about every time I see the hymns and I see our praise and these words are popping out all over the place. And it's kind of like reading scripture now. Which in essence it is, because people who write this, these beautiful themes and these beautiful hymns are really taking it from scripture. You can even see in some of the hymnals, it will cross-reference, like we're talking about cross-referencing, back to a passage. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. Didn't we just talk about that God is in us, that God is with us? Blessed Redeemer, living Word, we've been talking about Him being the Word. So as we look at lyrics even, the Holy Spirit of God is inspiring these people. When you read a book like Watchman Nee, the Holy Spirit of God has inspired Watchman Nee to write that book. I take it with a grain of salt because it's not scripture, but I do look at it like, what is scripture telling me? And I glean from that just like I do from Pastor Isaac. Because when God speaks to someone else, we should glean from that person. Jesus, name above all names. Jesus is the answer to everything. Amen. To every problem. To every addiction. To every situation. To every broken relationship. To every war. To every murder. To everything. Jesus created everything, and everything finds its purpose in Jesus. And He is the answer to this mess that we got going on. Let me tell you, this world is getting messier. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
But God is still the same.
Amen.
And He's using the mess to bring people in.
Amen.
So the mess is good. All things are good,
amen,
including the mess,
amen,
including my mess.
Amen.
Because we have a beautiful Savior,
amen,
a glorious Lord,
amen,
and He is with us.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank You that You are with us. We thank You, dear Holy Spirit, that You are in us.
Amen.
We thank You, dear Lord Jesus, that You have truly saved us from ourselves. So dear Father God, as we go forth, as we remember who we are, as we proclaim who we are, may we help someone else find You. That is our prayer this week, that we help someone else. We give someone else a little nudge. We have a little word. We have a little prayer. We have a little movement. It's somebody who needs a little push. So dear Father God, use us to expand Your kingdom and bring more souls to You. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Go and spread the word to somebody. It could just be as simple as, can I pray with you?